Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a rascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Mark.
And the rumor is that I am awake, although potentially completely unfounded. So good Friday morning, or good, it's not good Friday. Happy birthday, as I posted in the chat room. I don't know who the hell's birthday it is, but... Oh, minimum caffeine not met. So, how are you, Iggy?
I'm doing good. I was just getting ready to watch a video about cats and wine in Japan. They have you can drink with your cat now. Wine.
Wait, there's cat videos on the internet?
Yeah, on Time Magazine.
How was I not informed of this?
Cat videos all over the place. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we're going to do just a couple quick minutes of some sports astrology here, as I hear there is a football game coming up on Monday night that I'm sure most of you in Columbus, Ohio know about. And then I will bringing in a... good friend of mine, about 10 after. Her name is Lynn, and she has a Mondo Awesome website. It is psychicfocus.blogspot.com. And any of you out there that are interested in the type of material that is covered on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, who I met here in Columbus a couple years ago at an expo, put on by the wonderful Kelly Bowman, of course. So a lot of the things she covers, she has a very interesting story, and a lot of the things that Lynn covers on her blog, which, by the way, has, as of right now, has 1,675,646 page views. I think she's only had the site up for a couple years.
That's a lot.
So yeah, that destroys my blog hit count. So as you know, I do some sports astrology, and I will try not to bore the living daylights out of you with this, but it is NFL playoff time and also the first national championship game coming up.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
they have a petting cafe in Japan where you can actually go in and pet cats.
I've seen
that. I thought I'd let you know.
I've seen that. Next time I'm in Japan, I will be sure and stop in at the cat petting cafe.
Back to sport.
In lovely Japan.
All right, cool. I won't interrupt you.
Home of, yes.
It's Friday.
That is the rumor, although I have not been able to confirm that either.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
I am quite sure they will say I'm a crazy person. Okay, so last week, first round of the playoffs. I put some predictions up on my blog, which is you can find it at www.markmatheny.com sometimes when I get my WordPress account to work correctly. WordPress, I am not thrilled with your services. Also, they do show up on iamplanetsoul.com, which I post blogs on there with my friends Heather Renee Horton, who will be my guest next Friday. And also my friend Elsa, who was on the show last week, the great symbologist and reflexologist and astrologist and other is. She will be posting some blogs on there too, as well as our DJ friend KLF, who also posts his weekly top 40 on there. So last week in the playoffs, I went 3-1. And then actually, if I'd have bet money on these, I'd have won quite a bit of money. Three of the four favorites won, but I told Steelers fans, I know you want to kill me. I picked the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. I picked them to mash Baltimore last week, and the Steelers just did not show up against what has been a very mediocre Ravens team this year. Let's see. Last week I picked Carolina to defeat the Arizona Cardinals 27-13, and they won 27-16. And two of those points they gave up on a safety in the last minute of the game. So I was within 3 points of the point spread and 3 points of the exact final score on that one. Would have been within 1 point
yeah.
if it wasn't for the safety there at the end. Then the game I missed on Saturday night, I picked the Steelers to win 34-17. And oddly enough, the score was almost the exact opposite, Baltimore winning 30-17. So weird, the one game I missed, I almost got the score right, but just in reverse. Then I picked Dallas over Detroit by 3 points. I picked them to win 31-28. They won 24-20. So I'd say close on the final score and only 1 point off on the point spread. And then in the fourth game, I had picked the Colts 38-20 over the Bengals, and the final score was actually 26-10, so I was off by 2 points on the point spread on that one. So if I was in Vegas, I would be a wealthy man. Also, yeah. 10 days ago, I to beat Alabama 34-31, and in actuality, they won 42-35, so I picked the upset, 9-point underdog. Comes back and wins by 7. I'd picked them by 3. So, again, I'd have been a very rich man if I'd have played money on these. I will have a full blog on I Am Planet Soul with my NFL predictions and a big write-up for the national championship game for Monday night. But just real quickly, in the NFC, I am going with the Packers over Green Bay, which marks two interesting things.
Are you going? You're going with the Packers over Green Bay?
I'm going with the Packers over Dallas. two interesting things in that game.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's the first time Dallas has played at Green Bay since 1967, about 3 months before I was born,
okay.
in the legendary Ice Bowl, where the field was covered in ice. Also, this is the first time in NFL history where a team that went 8-0 on the road during the regular season plays a team that was 8-0 at home during the regular season at Green Bay. That's never happened before in NFL history. So I look for Dallas to keep it close for about three quarters. Green Bay pulls away at the end.
Okay, then I'll be the opposite.
You can take the Cowpokes?
I'll take the Cowpokes.
Yeah, okay.
Someone has to take them.
And then I would take I'm going to take the Seahawks over Carolina. Again, Carolina may be hanging in for a half. They have too little on offense. Seahawks will pull away.
Carolina wins by 3.
In the second half. Okay, going with Carolina on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions. It's been a weird season. Anything can happen.
I like weird.
And then, the AFC I'm going to have to reshuffle a little bit because with Pittsburgh losing, that's reshuffled the matchups. It's now the Colts at New England and Baltimore. No, it is Baltimore at New England and the Colts at Denver. So, again, Peyton Manning going against the Colts. And then Baltimore going into New England again, where, New England's a favorite, but, history says that New England doesn't win at home against Baltimore in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Historically, that is not what has happened.
Yeah.
Baltimore goes into New England and wins most of the time.
Who's your pick?
So I had picked Pittsburgh to go into New England and win, but I am not taking Baltimore to go into New England and win. The moon is void, of course, on Saturday. After that is on Saturday, most of Saturday, that is not a good option for road teams to go in with a Void of Course Moon, although that may neutralize the home team's emotional advantage a little bit with the Moon Void of Course, but I'm taking the Patriots in a close one. I think I need to go over the team's charts again one more time. And then in the other game, I would think that Denver's going to beat Indianapolis, but Andrew Luck is the best fourth quarter quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of leaning towards, I just don't like Denver the last month of the season. I just don't like the way they've played.
I have to go with your pick, Sue.
I'm kind of leaning towards taking the Colts on that one. So, and then the Monday night game, there is the national championship, Ohio State and Oregon. Interesting thing on that. The first national championship basketball game was played about 60 years ago. We looked at this the other day. And so now we have the first college football playoff championship game. And it's the same two teams. And Oregon defeated Ohio State in the first NCAA tournament basketball game. And funny, in the first college football playoff, we have Ohio State and Oregon in the national
championship game.
Yeah, in the national championship game.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So, enough on the sports astrology. We have our guest ready to come on. She goes by, her name is Lynn, and you can find her awesome blog at psychicfocus.blogspot.com, and she takes questions from her readers who email in questions, and it's a very interesting process that she does, and I'll let her go over it, and we will talk about a few of her recent blogs and kind of how she got her start. And I will stop babbling, and we will bring on Lynn. How are you doing, Lynn?
Martha. I'm doing good, thanks. And I first want to say thank you for giving me a spot on your show and allowing me to come on and talk. But yes, I do. I have a blog, and this blog started, I would say, a couple years ago. And when I first kind of opened myself up and sort of quit hiding from my I don't know if you want to call it a gift. That almost sounds egotistical, but
it's
I started
a gift.
Practicing. And I started, rather than hide from it and be scared of it, I started to embrace it and really open up to it. And through doing so and, you know, doing readings, and they started out small, whether it was people at my husband's work or people from, you know, a metaphysical group meeting, like anything like that. I'd go home and I'd tell my husband, he's like, you got to document this stuff. You have to journal it in some way, because one, you're going to forget, and two, you'll see how you're growing, how, you know, maybe you're developing a mental dictionary of symbols or just the growth process and all. He said, you know, the way to measure it and keep track of it, you got to journal it somehow. So he was the one that actually came up with the idea of starting a blog. And the blog was kind of, in a sense, a journal of different readings that I had done, and he would type them out as I talked through them. And it was his way of pretty much keeping track. And we put the blog as a public blog, and I never even thought that people would be interested in it. It was more for me and for my use, and it was so humbling to see how people kind of gravitated to it. And then we opened it up for questions from anybody. You could go on, you could see my blog, and I have a tab on my blog that allows people to submit questions, and I've had every question. I feel like, I mean, it's awesome. It's amazing the stuff that has come through my blog. And what I do is I read through those questions, and, you know, one will jump out at me, and I'll start getting things on it, and I'll just go from there, and I'll post it publicly. And from there, I also do personal readings, and those I do on a donation basis, because they were taking a lot of my time, and I do have to balance, you know, family life and everything else. I wish I could do all of them, as many as I could get, but unfortunately I have limited time, and by doing it on a donation basis, it's a way for me to kind of give back to my family for the time that I have to spend. But kind of in a nutshell, that's sort of how everything started out, and it's just grown and become this awesome thing that I really enjoy doing, and I feel like I'm contributing, I feel like I'm helping people, and it's turned out to be a really positive thing in my life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, A, don't feel bad about taking donations. You give very good information. I have gotten the reading from Lynn, and it was amazing. I really like the way you do it, because you get to send in like five questions or whatnot, and you send back a taped recording, so you have it to look back on and, you know, re-listen to and everything. And it's really, I really like the way you do your readings, and it was really like scary accurate. So
no, thank you.
So also, Lynn's husband is like my mental twin. I've got to hang out with him a few times, so I think we barely let Lynn in on the conversation there the first time, because we're just get along very well with both of them and their entire family. Really good people, really fun to hang out with. They were all very, very much like-minded. So I started, Lynn and I went to some similar classes before, and she had told me about her blog, and I got on there, and I was like, I got kind of freaked out, to be honest with you, because it was like, I thought that you were seeing inside my head, because it was like, I was like, all the stuff that I'm looking at and I'm looking into, and it's almost like, I almost felt like you were reading my mind, because, and this is before we had really talked very much or anything, but it was like, she was like putting up a blog on like exactly the stuff that was going on in my head. So if anybody out there listening is like a fan of Coast to Coast AM, if you're one of a Coast to Coast junkie like I am and have listened to for years, you'll really find Lynn's blog very interesting. And I've posted it in the chat room too, if you're in the chat room. See a few people lingering in there, and I've posted it on my Facebook page too. But just lots of really interesting topics, and you can search by you've got to divide it into categories and by date and everything. So it's really easy and really really very searchable and everything. So it's a very user friendly website. And she really, like I've told her before, I think a lot of her readers are people that listen to Coast to Coast, because it seems to be, she seems to get a lot of questions on the, the conspiratorial vein, the oddball kind of stuff that's out there. So I've tried to, the show is called Mark the Rabbit Hole, and I've tried to be pretty calm with people so far, but we're going to start going further down into the rabbit hole here in the near future, starting with Lynn today, and I've got a few other juicy guests that I'm working on locking up that you'll be seeing in February.
Juicy guests.
Juicy guests.
Hi, Lynn. I'm Iggy. Manning the board here.
So, I found a couple of your blogs recently that piqued my interest. The first one was from Wednesday, December 31st, and the title of it is Mental Takeover, MK Ultra Spellcasting, and Most Importantly, How to Overcome This. I want to reiterate that people send these questions in to Lynn, so people are requesting her take on these, and she just kind of puts out there what she has told me that she doesn't really have an opinion or anything on a lot of these up front, that she kind of finds out about these things as people send her the questions. So I found this blog really interesting because I talk a lot about the English language and spell casting and things like that on this show and some others I've been on. So I guess what... So we're gonna wake people up here. If anybody out there is asleep, we're gonna wake them up now. So you talk about a little bit about kind of the mind control stuff done with MK Ultra and some of the spell casting done with the English language to try and program us and get us in touch with our, keep us stuck in our reptilian brain. Which anybody who makes fun of David Icke for the reptilian thing, I just want you all to know that all medical science backs up that we do, in fact, have, every one of us has a reptilian part of our brain. It's called the reptilian or RX complex, and it is the oldest part of our brain, and it's kind of where our base hierarchical nature kind of comes from. So now that I've babbled there probably too long on that, anything you want to... any other interesting things maybe that came to you during that blog or anything you want to touch on?
Well, the strange thing is, well, I shouldn't call it strange. I think there's a lot of synchronicities in life. And I was kind of thinking along the lines of a post, and I wasn't sure how to put it together. And at one point, even you and I had a conversation about all of the spell casting. And right after that, I had probably 3 questions submitted to me. I get questions over the blog, and sometimes people will send me personal emails if they don't want their alias or their name to appear on my blog with the question. So it's like I knew in my mind I needed to do a reading on this, that people were interested about it, and I also felt as though it could help people or at least make people a little more aware or alert to what was going on and really pay attention to the things that were happening around them. And so as I was thinking about this and how to formulate it and kind of put my thoughts into a manner that they made sense, I started getting all these things. And part of it was coming from conversations that I had. Part of it was just things that randomly came to me. Like, for example, why do we say such negative things to each other and interpret them as being positive? Like, if someone goes and is getting ready to perform, why do we tell them to break a leg? Or if someone looks good, why do we say, man, that's a dress to die for? Or, like, why do we have these negative terms that we have and try to trick ourselves into thinking it means something good? So I just kind of went down that path of the language and how we speak to each other. And more importantly, what I really want to focus on for 2015, and I want to bring this to light for everybody else, too, is how to be more positive and how to, even if it's a kind of a negatively oriented reading, how do you turn that into something that's beneficial or positive? And really, it's to educate yourself as empowerment and to be alert and aware of your surroundings. That's empowerment as well. And during the reading, you know, at the end, I was thinking, well, how do you overcome this? How do you, you know, fight this? If it's a part that's in everybody's brain, we're all, you know, can be victims to it, how do you prevent from being attacked? And it just came to me that like attracts like, and if you elevate your vibration and you kind of emit a higher frequency, these lower vibrational thoughts and, you know, these beings or this energy, it can't attach to you. It's just, it's not going to work because the lower vibrations attract the lower vibrations. So if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're angry, if you're, you know, going around in a state of mind where you feel like you're deceived by the world, all of those negative connotations, that just opens you up to more of it, to more negativity, and to be kind of have this reptilian part of your brain overreact. But if you sort of rise above it, or maybe you're angry, but you try to get a better way to look at it or a more positive outlook, you know, because like does attract like, it can't. It's just, it's like the north and the south pole of a magnet. They just can't you know, one's going to repel and one's going to attract. And if you put yourself to where that negativity can't attract you, you can kind of overcome it. And if more people did that and more people had that similar type of an outlook, then it's almost like we can regain ourselves. I feel like, you know, the humans are here and this is really our world and we're letting something else control it and something else take it over. But if we kind of change our perspective or, you know, change the lens that we look through, then we can get that back. And it would be an awesome moment for us to do so, but we have to get the awareness out there.
Yeah, just to dip it down in the rabbit hole, what I feel is happening is people use the word ascension and other things, you know, moving from 3D to 5D and however you want to describe what's going on the little blue marble at this time. You've got to be really asleep to not feel that there's a shift going on and not see that there's lots of people awakening and stuff. So we'll call them the powers that be, what did you want to call them, the Illuminati or New World Order or Reptilian Agenda or whatever name you want to give it, probably all the same thing, U.S. government, you can call it that. So Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg. I wonder if there's any more trigger words I can use. I want to make sure my ratings in Langley, Virginia stay up. So I want to make sure I hit as many keywords as possible. Plus, I've been thinking of sending out some free coffee mugs and pens and stuff to the nice people there in Langley just to make sure that I appreciate their viewership. Anyways, that was a quick babbling aside there. There was a battle for Earth that happened a long time ago, and it's going on again now. And you know, they cannot physically imprison or kill all of us, or you know, they can't even physically control all of us. I mean, we so outnumber the combined military, police, New World Order, whatever of every country combined. I mean, it's, you know, it's 10,000 of us to one of them. So the way to really control the masses is through, you know, mind control of some sort. You have to keep them scared and afraid and feel like we need them to defend and protect us, which is all silly nonsense. So, you know, I totally agree with you. We're right. You're right. We gave our power away, and now we're waking up and ready to start reclaiming it. And the only way they can keep us in this, you know, kind of self-made prison is if they keep us stuck in these lower vibrational levels. And that is, you know, hey, you're totally right, and I tell people this all the time. The most important thing now is to keep your vibrational level up so that we can help everyone move over from the 3D reality, which you can see is obviously crumbling before your eyes, as we move over to the 4D and the 5D, where we're closer to our spiritualness, our spiritual being, our destiny that we're supposed to be exhibiting.
Yeah, and I've noticed, too, that it seems like they know they're losing control and they realize that so many people are ascending or waking up or, you know, increasing their vibration. And that's why there's this need and this push for fear. It's, you know, every week there's a different flavor, whether CNN's broadcasting about the Ukraine or they're talking about ISIS or there's something going on in France or, I mean, it's just every week there's something else, and it's like they have to keep that fear, which is the lower vibrations, going, and that's how they're maintaining control. And you can tell that they're scared that they're losing control because it's just more and more of the same thing but in a different flavor. And as people wake up and realize that and sort of rise above it, I mean, yes, everybody gets pulled into it and they talk about the story or they wonder about the story, but the biggest thing is just to realize not to be afraid. You can't live your life in fear. You can be alert and aware as to what is being talked about or going on in the world, but really you have to take it for what it is and sort of not all consume yourself. I mean, yes, people want to know the truth, and I want to know the truth. That's part of my goal and my quest is to share whatever I can get just to kind of shed light on what's going on, but I don't necessarily live terrified every day that, you know, something's going to happen. I mean, I try to keep a positive outlook. I try to keep a high vibration. And you know, I trust that the universe knows what's going to go on, and I don't need to live in that lower, you know, vibration. And people just have to be cautious of that and not fall into that trap, because that's what they're so desperately trying to get you to do.
Yes, totally agree. I say we have won this battle, and they are trying to use the media and whatever lame fear tactics have to, you know, like kind of like do their lab looting before they leave the planet. Because from what I hear, they've been ordered off, and their time is very limited because they've violated so many of the rules of the game, if you will. So yeah, these are all just like ridiculous last ditch efforts to, you know, so they're going to try and vaccinate us to death, and all the vaccines and all this other crap, and all the GMOs in the food and all the Monsanto product thing, all this is in the chemtrails and all this other stuff. It's just a multi-layered attack to try and keep your third eye closed and be locked down in this third dimensional, you know, reality and whatnot. So, yeah, they really are powerless over us. I mean, they have to poison our food and our air and our water and our minds and all this other stuff, and that still doesn't keep us from waking up. I think it shows you that we're winning this battle, and, you know, we're way ahead of them in the game. They're just trying all kinds of, call them trick plays at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to take a short break here and get our whistles, and we will come back and talk about your New Year's predictions blog.
Okay, great.
We'll be back in just a second.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
And we are back with our guest, Lynn from Psychic Focus Sessions. And I have... Okay. So the next blog we're going to... I guess I should have said that, mumble internally. So I was looking for something there. So the next blog of yours, it was recent that I found very interesting, was from Monday, December 29th, if you're looking at the link for Lynn's blog. So you can just scroll back into the older posts at the bottom of the page, and if you want to see the blog we're talking about. This one is called... from Monday, December 29th, New Year, predictions and a push for positive energy. And you kind of talk about some of the things that you foresee coming up for us in the year 2015. And we did a little prediction show here with Iggy and David and Katie and Todd and
yes,
some of the others on the network here. And yeah, so maybe just give us a little quick interview overview. I'll do the interview, you do the overview. And Iggy can do the underview. This is turning into a scene from Airplane. Over was under and under was overdone. Okay, so... okay, the young people have no idea what I'm talking about. So what did you... what are some of the interesting things you see coming up for 2015 for us all?
Well, a couple of the things that I saw, this is kind of complex, but I see our Earth wobble due to some outside forces, and I always see this image of this red comet, and it's kind of come to me over the past, I don't know, a month or two, that it's part of a bigger system. There's like a sister sun that we don't see. Some people call it a brown dwarf, but I see it more like a sister sun that runs tandem with our sun, and that sister sun has a small solar system on its own, and this red comet that I always see is actually part of the system. Well, I see that interference from this correlating system is actually kind of wreaking havoc on Earth. It's not going to collide with Earth. It's not going to necessarily, like, knock us off of our axis or do anything like that. But rather, I see some erratic weather tied to it, because what happens is, as it's approaching, it's actually kind of making our natural wobble a lot more. So what we see as the North Pole isn't always the North Pole. It's like it keeps dipping down. If you can visualize a top spinning, when the top slows down, it kind of has this erratic wobble to it. Well, that wobble makes the weather very unpredictable. You'll see bitter cold temperatures followed by the next week of it being moderate to warm. And it's just, I see that trend really happening a lot throughout 2015. And depending on where you are, you know, located on the globe, everybody's really affected by this, because as it wobbles, you know, you're not staying flat as to what you normally were. So I see a lot of record highs and lows in just about every region, because every region is affected by this wobble, and that's going to continue to go on. Specific to the United States, I see California as very dry. I see forest fires and just a lot of issues with drought. But the strange thing is Washington State, that's directly, you know, north of California, is wet, and it's so wet that I see mudslides. I see them having a lot of issues with just super saturation of water, whereas California's dry. I feel like California's being intentionally left dry because we're getting all this Fukushima pollution coming over, and by keeping it dry, it prevents the rain from filtering all of the pollution down to the soil. And I get that they're working on how to kind of neutralize this radiation without trying to scare people into not eating the food or to do anything like that. It's like they know there's bigger issues than what they want to tell us, but they're not telling us about that. And I see that California is going to be just totally bombarded with all kinds of chemtrails, testing every different chemical that there is. And they're hoping to get it fixed in 2015 so they can have a normal growing season in 2016. Off the coast of Australia, kind of the northeast part of Australia, I feel like either an island somehow emerges, or there's a volcano, or there's some kind of activity related in the water with that. And north of that, I feel like there's a lot of violent storms and water and possibly hurricane activity that's much more intense than what they normally expect. So I see all of that going on. I also saw that the dollar is going to have some major issues during 2015. I actually thought that even by now we would start seeing something or hearing something. But the strange thing of it is I feel like every time that it's close to being to where it's going to be announced that, hey, we need to convert over from the dollar or do something else, it's almost like some outside force or energy intervenes, like they're trying to get that last little squeeze out of the dollar before they allow it to collapse. And I also see that there's like an interim currency system that's credit-based, that there is no real backing on the system that goes in force between the dollar and the new currency. And I feel like there's going to be a huge push for people to use that or get debt on an electron-type form versus in physical paper money. But I see that happening during 2015. I don't necessarily see the issuance of a new currency, but I see a different currency that's more electronically based. I see a huge push for homeopathic type forms of medicine. And it's almost like our subconscious is waking up. And, you know, the universe works in strange ways. It can be through direct means, or it can be through your, you know, the person themselves, like through an awakening process. And I see the universe is pushing on this natural homeopathic cures. Like the universe is saying, hey, the things that are out there or that you have access to aren't necessarily the best things for you. So healthcare is going to be expensive. Pharmaceuticals, there's going to be every, you know, warning and red flag. And for people that pay attention and really look at these things, you're going to wake up. It's almost, the signs are so there if people pay attention to the signs. And because of all these things, the expensive health care, the feeling like you're being lied to, or you know, this push of stuff that's not really good for you or healthy for you, people will tend to go and listen toward homeopathic cures, whether it's foot reflexology, whether it's herbs, whether it's oils, whether it's an acupuncturist. I see people going more toward that and looking to those more what I call earthy or metaphysical means, or like any of that like natural homeopathic stuff. I see people going toward that versus running to the doctor. I mean, people that don't want to listen to the signs and they do what they're told and they kind of just follow everything, yes, those people are going to go to the doctor and they're going to take medicine and, you know, pills and all of that. But for those who are wakening up and on the verge of wakening up, I feel like the awakening happens in shifts. I see a huge organic trend to that. And just overall, I see people kind of wakening up to all of the stuff that's going on, questioning things more. And just, it's almost like you wake up with a clearer vision of the world around you and what's going on. And you're able to filter through all the stuff that's lies or that's nonsense. I mean, just sort of no truth, and you allow truth to resonate with you. I see that so much more and more.
There are no coincidences, Delia. Only the illusion of coincidence.
Exactly. There are no coincidences. So, yes, I think you're right. I think people are awakening. And definitely, on an astrological note, to kind of back up what you're saying, later this year, the planet Jupiter goes into the sign of Virgo for a year. And also, very late in the year, I think it's late October, the North Node moves from the sign of Libra into the sign of Virgo. So there's a heavy Virgo energy that we're going to have in the last, like, third of the year. Or third or fourth of the year. So interesting, in astrology, Virgo rules health. So I think that totally backs up what you're saying, that people are just going to increasingly become more and more health conscious and more aware of what we're eating, drinking, putting into our bodies, the vaccines. Because, you know, I mean, they're still... Even a little pimp in the fear on the, you know, oh, die of the flu if you don't get the flu vaccine. And it's like, you know, they just posted in the paper last week an article saying that the vaccine they're giving out is not working against this year's flu because it's made up to prevent last year's flu. The flu has traveled around mm-hmm. the earth in the last 12 months, muted 137 different times, so not even the same strain. So that's, you know, they're just trying to pump us full of chemicals. That's all it is. And the scary thing to me that I think they put people in with disinformation on some of these things. So it's like, it's not just what is in a certain vaccine that they try to get everyone to take, but what is, you know, what's the final result of the cocktail? What is the, not just what's in vaccine or the other vaccines they're giving out, but what is the combination of those? Once you get those, I mean, that stuff, you know, if anything they're saying is true and those things prevent you for 5 or 10 or 20 years against a certain, you know, whatever it is, measles, polio, whatever. But what's the combination? What's the accumulative effect of all those different toxins? And it's like, was it like mixing like a poisonous cocktail, like one ingredient at a time? You know, and I don't know the answer to that. That's just a question that always pops into my head, because I'm like, I know a lot of the stuff they put in there is garbage, but man, what's the combined effect of these six different things you get from these six different vaccines and what it's going to... So that's one of the scary things to me. So I did want to ask you about, that was just a total aside there. So I do want to ask you about a couple of things you mentioned that were interesting to me in that from 2050 blog you talked about. The red planet you see coming in, it's the same? Is this Planet X? Is this Planet Nibiru that people have talked about for so long? Because I've seen some, and I know it's easy to Photoshop or distort things on, you know, YouTube videos. I don't believe everything I see on the internet, but some like really crazy, like pictures and videos where it does kind of look like there's planet or something that is popping up in places that we're able to see sometimes, like hiding behind other. Not that I want to give it conscious manipulative qualities, but it, you know, we only found the planet Neptune like 80 years ago. We only found Pluto, not much. You know, even not that much longer than that ago. So, you know, who knows really what's hiding? The universe is so vast, and how do we know what's hiding out there? But do you think that this thing that we're seeing in the skies, do you think it's Planet X or Nibiru? And even if it is not going to come in and crash into our solar system or, you know, come between us and the sun, just that, you know, there could be some interference at least caused from it. What do you think there?
I do think that it very well could be. You know, for the past couple of years, I've been doing readings and kind of meditated on what I saw, and I always saw this fireball flying through the sky, and I never could quite figure out exactly what it was attached to, and even my timeline was kind of off. I thought for sure that in March of 2013 we would see it more, and when it didn't happen, to be honest, I was really confused by it, and to the point where I had this anxiety, like, where is it at, where is it at? Like, I felt so confident it was there. Well, then recently, you know, I've always kind of had it in the back of my mind to pay attention and think about it, and I sort of have always left myself open to, you know, if there's a message or if there's something going on, you know, send it to me in my dreams or bring it to me in a meditation. Well, I too randomly started seeing these videos of these outside bodies looking like they're interfering with our solar system. And when I saw that and I really focused in on it, then I realized that it's more than just a comet or a planet. It's part of an actual smaller system, and I saw it as something that ran almost in tandem with our current sun. So to answer your question, I feel like it could be. I don't have a definite name, but it feels like what everybody's fixated on and what everybody's put their energy toward.
Very good. Yeah, something that popped up kind of stuck in my mind too was the. So, do you think a part of our government?
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Do you think a part of our government, some is actually acting in our behalf to, or using HAARP or whatnot, to create the droughts in some of these areas to actually help us? Because, I mean, if anybody still watches or listens to the mainstream media out there, which I'm assuming you don't if you're listening to this show, you know, they don't even talk about Fukushima and, you know, that to me has got to be the number one story on a daily basis is, I mean, there's parts of the Pacific Coast are so contaminated now at this point that I've even seen like some of the big name chefs and stuff that have TV shows saying, you know, I won't even serve fish caught in the Pacific Ocean at this point at my restaurants. So, you know, you don't even see that mentioned on the news. But do you think there's like a faction of our government or something that's trying to protect us from the radiation spilling into the food and the
It's kind of twofold. They want to allude that they're protecting us, but in really it's more the big companies. I mean, like Monsanto and all of these huge companies that are learning how to grow food in ways that aren't necessarily natural, that don't require, you know, the proper sun or the water. It's almost for their benefit, I get. And the one thing that conflicts with that is this man-made drought that I see in California, because in a way that does look toward our best interest, but I also get there's a bigger picture of being able to test different chemicals to neutralize radiation. So it's almost like they're excited to figure out how to play with their new toy and how to, you know, fix a problem that's going on, because that's a huge amount of money to be made. If you can neutralize radiation, then you kind of lose that threat of, you know, having your land permanently ruined in the event of some kind of nuclear fallout. Or what can you sell that technology to another country for that maybe had issues and having trouble growing? So it's almost like, yeah, but there's a bigger, more selfish picture, and it's almost like protecting us as the unintended consequence of really what they're doing. So if they are protecting us, that's not the intent. There's a bigger intent out there, and that's just kind of something that's by the side.
Right. Right. I would totally agree with that. Okay, so we'll go over one more blog here and then take a short break after that, and then I've got a fourth one that's of interest to me that we'll go over after the next break. But the next one here is from Sunday, December 28th, and it is titled Missing Flight Air Asia Flight QZ8501. Of course, this is the plane that disappeared a couple weeks ago, which they say they are finding some of the bodies, but they can't quite find the wreckage. And to be honest with you, I've lost track of this one a little bit, because I didn't see anything fishy with it at first, but yeah, there's definitely some oddness going on with it now. What do you see about this? Yet another missing flight, but this is Air Asia, which Malaysian Air is a. If I have this right, Malaysian Air that had the two disappearances last year, or actually, it was just one plane that they brought back the second time, as we've talked about before. But Malaysia Air is a subsidiary of Air Asia. So,
well, what I got with that when I first tuned in was immediately I saw like this dark cabin as if it was nighttime and people were sleeping. And I saw these three guys that were really Muslim but dressed up to be Malaysian, or they somehow hid their identity to portray something that they weren't. It was like they were hiding who they really were. So I see these three guys emerge when people were kind of like half out of it. And basically they took control of the back, where all the passengers were. And then after they did that, they somehow broke into the cabin or to where the pilots were, and they said, it came through to me that they had a briefcase and they acted like that was a bomb that they were going to let off. In reality, it wasn't. It was some kind of thing that actually somehow jammed the electrical communications back and forth and prevented them from working properly. And I felt like it had something to do with the black box too, but I couldn't get a clear, distinct image on that. And from there, I saw that the plane in reality was hijacked, and they told the pilot what coordinates that they needed to fly to and where they had to go. And at that point, that's where they truly lost communications, and the plane itself was landed at this like group of islands pretty close to the flight path that they were on. And after it landed, they made some kind of modifications, and then the plane was taken over to... I got the desert, and it was so strange to me because it was like layers upon layers of how this really happened. I got that in reality these Muslim guys were ISIS, and then I got a message that, but you know, ISIS isn't really real, so where is it coming
right
from? And it was almost like I kept backtracking to the United States and also to England or Great Britain, and I just felt like it was this complexity of people hiding identity after identity upon, you know, layers and layers, and that this plane was stolen as a way for ISIS to use it for their cause, or at least the name of ISIS to use it for their cause. I couldn't get a clear thing if it was the plane was going to be a weapon itself or if it was for transportation, but I saw this whole thing kind of play out like that, as if this plane was hijacked and taken and actually kept intact. And I knew, I even closed my reading saying, you know, that they're not going to let this string out like they did the MH370 and all of that, that they want closure to this. They want it out of the news, so they need to find a way to make this look like a definite wreck before, you know, things just kind of got out of control and it went on and on and on. And within a few days, you know, things did start to emerge, but there was, I don't know, it felt like some certain element of negligence in with this as well. And I, like you, Mark, I didn't necessarily follow it every day because I didn't want to be, you know, tainted by the news. I kind of wanted to just see what I got on my own. And, you know, then it was brought to my attention that, you know, well, they're finding people, they're finding passengers, or they found a piece of this or that off the plane. And so then I questioned myself, am I seeing a different timeline? Am I seeing what the ultimate plan was, that it was hijacked and the plane went down? That's not how I saw it play out, but I can't say that that's not a possibility. I mean, timelines change and, you know, there's certain elements of free will that go into play too. So if the plane really went down, I believe it was hijacked the way that I saw it. And if it didn't, then I believe, you know, it panned out the way that I see it, and this plane's really in the desert being used for what's said to be some ISIS, you know, tool.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I agree totally. Almost every terrorist station that's out there, you know, can pretty much be traced back to CIA creation. I mean, that's done. Again, that was just a blatant spiel to up my ratings in Langley, Virginia. But I agree. ISIS is totally. They've been caught faking so many things with the ISIS, and even, you know, you look to the ALS, the ice bucket challenge, that, you know, ice us, and just the whole, you know, the people in the, there's people in the government that are very much into the occult and astrology and other things, and they, you know, they plan these events and things for certain times. I mean, you know, they demonized the feminine energy for all the, you know, late summer last year, leading up to, you know, October 23rd, when we had the sun-moon eclipse right on top of the planet Venus, all of them at 0 degrees Scorpio, and that is, Venus is the goddess. And so we continue, you know, leading up to that. And then to me, I believe that was kind of a spiritual rebirth point, that eclipse, because I had, and I noticed a lot of other people had, really intense things happening, and that was kind of a rebirthing I saw of the feminine goddess energy. And the, to me, I tracked down like a lot of connections with the past life, you know, people from the ancient Egyptian mystery schools reincarnating and reuniting in this lifetime to help fight this battle against the, I'll just call it the reptilian agenda. I'll just call it what it is. So this is, it's kind of a covert war going on, and there's really a lot of, there's all kinds of misdirections and stuff that they try to do with these various terrorist groups that they create and stuff. And then they're, you know, they were saying, oh, ISIS is ready to come across the U.S. border and all the, and, you know, then all this stuff, just like just after that October 23rd date, all this stuff, just kind of disappeared after that. You know, then they started in with the Ebola stuff and whatnot at that point. It's like they just randomly bring up these crazy different things to try. You know, then he said ISIS was going to try and use Ebola to cause terrorist attacks with that and everything. So that's an interesting insight into that situation. I thank you for sharing that with us. And we will take a short little break here, and then we have one more blog of yours that I'd like to talk about, and then we'll just do some free form. Anything else you want to talk about, or any other blogs you want to share, or any other information? And we'll do that shortly after the break.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
So, but
scam me, Mark.
So there's, yeah, you can send all your hate mail to mmatheny1984@yahoo.com. My guests are totally innocent here. So I have one other blog here. So what? Tell people. Where all can people contact you, or where can they find you? Where's your web presence? Where do you show up on the earth?
I am at psychicfocus.blogspot.com. That's where kind of my hub of information is. That's the way to get a hold of me. Instructions on how to request a reading, how to request a, you know, a blog session, any of that. That's where it's at. Psychicfocus.blogspot.com. My email is yourpsychicfocus@gmail.com. And those are really my primary sources of how to get a hold of me. I also have a Facebook and a Twitter, and that can be linked through my blog.
Awesomeness. Okay, so one other, this is a short little blog, but there's something you mentioned a few minutes ago that adds into this as well. So the other blog I want to talk about, and I've posted it in the chat room if you're in there, but this is from the Wednesday, December 17th post you had. It is entitled Strange Noises in the United Kingdom. And you actually mentioned something a few minutes ago that I think may kind of plug into this a little bit. And you had talked about the earth having a bit of a wobble. So I totally agree with your weather predictions for the year. It's, I mean, people try to talk about global warming and climate change and what is it, and is it just really natural gases and stuff and whatnot, not, you know, coming up from the, you know, the ocean is the biggest polluter of the environment. I mean, just the toxic gases that come up from the ocean floor, created by the algae and things like that. But anyways, it's a whole, I don't even want to get into a,
blame the algae,
into a global warming discussion. But there's obviously something going on, and there's definitely, I mean, because we're definitely seeing, I don't think that things are warming up or cooling off. I mean, because people post articles saying both. It's, you know what, it's cold as crap here. It was pretty warm for the last month, you know, warmer than usual. Now it's colder than usual. And so I think what is happening is, for whatever reason, is we're seeing more extremes. The dry places are getting drier. The wet places are getting wetter. The, you know, places that have hurricanes and tornadoes, those are getting more extreme. And then, too, there's places that previously haven't had weird weather events that are getting more. So I think maybe I want to see if you think that kind of ties into the information in this other blog. But this other blog talks about there are mystery noises heard in the UK. And it, if you go on YouTube and just type in weird noises, you will, and I've even have had people that I know that have heard things. So there's, for the last few years, there is a series of strange noises being heard on the earth. And sometimes they sound like banging or crashing noises. Sometimes that people, I've heard them, people describe it as horns, or I mean, it's just complete bizarreness. And it's, I saw somebody try to explain it as, oh, it's just natural settling and stuff of the earth and whatnot. And that's absolutely not what it is, because I've never heard of such a thing ever, or any recordings or anything, up until like the last like 4 years. So something has changed. Something is different. So what do you see about these strange noises in the UK, and in general the crazy noises we've been hearing across the planet for the last 4 or 5 years? Because I know you did. I think you did an older blog on that as well.
Yeah, I did. And you know, I got one question in on it, and I think within a few days I had three or four in my email wanting to know about, you know, what did I see or what was going on with these strange noises. And when I tuned in on it, I've always seen our Earth as almost like a living thing in and of itself. Like if you kind of meditate and zone in on the earth itself, it's like you see it breathing up and down, like just like you would see someone's chest rise up and down when they take a breath. So it's almost like the symbol to me that the earth is living and it's growing and, you know, it's doing things too. And I get that, you know, partly with the infiltration of this other solar system coming in and the earth wobble and all of that, it's kind of changed the dynamics of our, you know, protective atmosphere that's around us from the sun. And the earth absorbs energy from the sun just like plants do. I mean, plants absorb the sun's energy and they grow. Well, I get that the earth does that too. And it's even more intensified because the, you know, magnetosphere or whatever this protective thing is, it helps block out some of the radiation or some of the rays. All of that's kind of getting through in certain areas of the earth. Not all of them, but there's weak spots. So, you know, as the earth is absorbing this energy, it's kind of growing and expanding and stretching just the way that, you know, a living thing would. And by doing this growing and stretching, it's like I got this sound in my head. It was the most bone-chilling type sound, and it reminded me of in the movie Titanic when the Titanic was sinking and it cracked in half, just that metal screeching, horrible sound. That's what it sounded like to me. And I get that people are experiencing these noises that you can't even really put words on unless you heard it and experienced it. It'd be really hard to describe it to somebody. And I feel like that's exactly what's happening. Our Earth is, in a sense, kind of growing and expanding. I mean, they teach you in school, or you hear about, you know, Pangaea and when all, you know, the continents were the same and things start spreading apart. They don't really mention that the Earth was smaller. I believe it was smaller, and the Earth itself grew in addition to all these plates shifting around. But, you know, it's kind of like I see that. It's almost like in front of our eyes we're watching the Earth growing. And it might only be a few inches or, you know, a foot, but a little bit can mean a lot. And the strange thing, too, is I always see it in an east-west direction, like it's getting fatter but not taller. I don't know scientifically why that would be, but I see it that way. So I feel like there's like a plate there or something there in that area around, you know, England, that they're hearing it, and they're like, it's like they're hearing this breaking apart or this stretching.
Right, yeah, and I know the sound you're talking about from the Titanic movie. It was kind of a lurching,
yes,
metal scraping, unnerving kind of sound, and that's, you know, some of the videos that I've seen, and, you know, I know some of them are probably faked and whatnot, but I think there's people that get obsessed, too, with the fact that they think every video on the internet is faked. I don't think every video on the internet is real. I don't think every single one is faked. I mean, when you see, like, you know, dozens or hundreds of people reacting to something,
right,
to a UFO or a sound or something, I don't know that can be that easily faked. So, yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely, it is a kind of like, feels like kind of growing pains,
mm-hmm,
maybe you're describing, as the earth kind of swells and, you know, maybe reacts to the temperature rising and falling and you know, and, you know, who knows what the, I think everyone can agree that the fracking is not having a good outcome on the planet. You know, there seems to be a lot of evidence coming out that, you know, earthquake activity is extremely heightened in areas where the fracking is going on. So, God knows what they're really doing with that, or what the main purpose of it is. I'm guessing, you know, drilling for oil and whatnot is not really the main purpose, is we actually have tons of oil and it's, you know, stored along the Pacific coastline out in the ocean and
terraforming
and other places that we have. Yes, maybe it's terraforming for, you know, maybe something else is getting ready to come onto the earth or return to the earth.
Reminds me of that scene on Superman.
Yeah, oh, yes. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely some, there's definitely some oddness going on. There's definitely strange things. And as, you know, as people are changing and our vibrational rates are changing and, you know, the Earth or Gaia is kind of moving from the 3D to the 5D, I mean, we can expect some of this continued bizarreness to continue. So, I mean, you know, as far as next year, I think it's going to be fairly bumpy. As I've talked about before, Pluto is square to the nodes right now, and it's going to be the next week, now through January 19th, is going to be bumpy. You know, everyone's trying to posit, you know, people are awakening but not really sure what's going on, and people are trying to align themselves and position themselves with where they're supposed to be spiritually and with the people, relationships, and work environments they're supposed to be in. So there's lots of shifting, and they're trying to pump lots of fear into us, and, you know, there's lots of craziness, but it's, you know, it's really just, it's important to hold your vibrational level at this point, like you had mentioned earlier. So, is there anything else interesting you see out there or coming up, or any interesting stories with any blogs or anything else you want to mention?
I think I'm going to do a blog very soon on meditation itself, just because I, like you, Mark, feel like January just, I don't know, the spring in general, up until spring, feels hard, almost, and I use this expression a lot when it comes to spirituality and awakening and holding your vibration. It's almost like you're walking through mud. Like, you know where you want to be, but it's almost painfully hard to get there, or once you're there, it's hard to maintain that. And I think one of the best ways to do that is through meditation, but a lot of people get, you know, tripped up into, they don't know how to do it, or it's overwhelming, or they don't have anybody to talk to, or they just don't understand how to get themselves in that, you know, mental space that you need to be in. So look for a reading on, you know, meditating, or maybe a little bit of help with that. So I think you're right that January is going to be hard. I think February is going to be hard, and it's going to start easing up in March.
Right. Yeah. So if you're wanting to, I kept missing a lot of Lynn's good blogs. So I finally went to her website several months ago, and you can sign up by your email, and each time she posts a blog, you can have it delivered right to your email box, so you don't ever miss one of her fascinating blogs there. So I totally agree. It's going to be bumpy through January 19th, and then, Jupiter is retrograde, so everyone's having to kind of buckle up a little bit and sort out their finances right now. And then the middle of March, we have the 7th of the Uranus-Pluto squares. So, I ask my spirit guides for confirmations for, like, if something is real or something, something is something that I should do or follow, or something that is that I should be pursuing. I ask for, whatever. You can call it the universe or your spirit guides or God or whatever you want to call it. But I just ask for three confirmations on things. And I think the meditation aspect, really, really helps us to shut out that outer noise. And I've really, really been using sea salts and crystals and essential oils and things that I didn't really mess with probably 2 years ago. I didn't really deal too much with any of those things. But I've really found all those to be a great help to me. So I think the middle of March is going to be really bumpy. And a message I've been getting just repeatedly the last 4 or 5 days is it is imperative right now that, A, we hold our vibrational level, and, two, that we sort out as much as of our karma that we're working on now. It's important that we drop, figure out, or get rid of a bunch of this baggage and karma that we're working on, because we're changing, the vibrational level is changing, the earth is changing, and for us to really pass through into this new reality that's happening, we've got to dump some of our baggage. And I think we've been asked to do that. I think that between now and the middle of March, I don't think we're going to be asked to do it. I think it's going to be a little stronger than a nice asking at this point. Mm-hmm. So anything where you have stuff that is way out of whack, I suggest. I've been doing lots of. I am not this awesome spiritual person that has everything figured out. I've got my own. So, I was just, I was having issues with one of my solar plexus chakra. I was sick for 6 weeks. So I've got, even though I think I've got some stuff figured out, I've got my stuff I'm having to clear out as well. So I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm just saying now's the time to, meditate, get in touch with your inner self. And if you've had any kind of karmic stuff that's been hanging around for a long time, now's the time to clear it. Smudge yourself, smudge your house. I found some really good bath salts. There's some Moldavite, which is actually, a stone I really love. It's actually part of a crashed meteorite that I believe crashed in the Czech Republic like way over 100 years ago. I really seem to resonate with that energy. Although, let me warn you, it is very powerful energy and very transformative. And I have some weird stories I could share with you about it. But I think it's very important that we clear stuff out. And I think after the end of March, then we'll get Jupiter going direct, and I think finances will lighten up, and we'll be past the Uranus-Pluto square system we've gone through, and I think things will lighten. There's going to be a couple intense periods, in the second, the last 8 months of 2015, but I think we're really, if we keep shedding the stuff we don't need any, it's like imagine a snake on steroids that's really just, you know, just continually shedding its skin, you know. The more we can shed and get rid of old stuff and release some of this baggage, we're really going to be a lot better off in the, you know. And I think too, like I've talked about with the people born in the early to mid-60s are really going to start stepping into their own now. And that Virgo energy, we're going to feel really heavy last third or fourth of 2015 and up through 2016 as we have Jupiter in the North Node moving into Virgo and Pluto, which is getting into the mid-degrees of Capricorn now, which is also an Earth sign. It's really going to help the Earth people keep things grounded, the Virgo, Capricorn, Taurus people. Really kind of come into power. And, you know, people born in the early to mid-60s that have the tight Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo in their birth charts, with Pluto trining that and Jupiter hitting it. And, you know, I think we're going to start, a lot of people are going to start stepping up. And this goes for myself as well, that, you know, I should have stepped up on more things in recent years. But, you know, I've been pushing that way. But, you know, it's really getting time for me to really step up in a lot of areas. So I think mankind as a whole is kind of going through this as well, especially right now with Pluto being square of the nodes. Everyone's being called to fulfill your destiny, move to where you're supposed to be. After I just babbled there for 5 minutes, anything else you want to share or... anything else you
want to? No, I think I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is pretty cool. It was fun.
I've been bugging Lynn for a little while to. She's been trying to get on some other radio shows, and I've encouraged her to come on my show here once I got it going. It was a blast having you on, and I will see you and your husband in person in the near future here sometime. We'll get together and chat like we like to do. And
yeah.
I would definitely like to have you back on in a maybe in the March area, or definitely by July is a hot spot. We'll definitely have you back on before July. Be interested to see what you see coming up in that time period. So I know you have a lot of duties there, so appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I was very well. We were glad to have you, and we'll definitely have you back on again in the near future.
Yeah, that sounds great. That'd be fun.
Okay, thank you very much, Lynn. And remember, visit psychicfocus.blogspot.com, and you can read Lynn's take on a lot of the interesting and bizarre and conspiratorial things going on the crazy little blue marble at this juncture.
That was pretty cool. So some really good information there.
Yeah, I love reading her blog. It's very, very interesting. She just seems to be so in tune with, not only does she seem to post things that I'm interested in, she seems to come to the same conclusions, or the information she gets seems to really back up a lot of the a lot of the stuff that I kind of think and feel are going on. So it's very, very interesting. So
perfect.
If you're in the Columbus area, Drum Circle this Saturday night at Garcia's International Restaurant.
9 p.m.
9 p.m. And also, I went and visited Kenneth's Hair Salon.
Yeah, I saw your
hair. Where Miss Fuzzbottom, who is working today, did a good job on making me a little more presentable. So, yeah. A good... thank you to my virtual assistant. He's been very quiet today.
Quite right.
Well, she liked the topics that were being talked about.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, she only interrupts when it's something that's kind of, when you get out of line.
When me get out of line? Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. So. Sorry, that's one of my favorite sound effects. I haven't done that one. Haven't done that one in a while. So, yeah, so you know what? I like to try and support my friends' businesses and support local businesses. That's one way to kind of take back our reality and keep businesses and people that we want to stay in business operating and mm-hmm. to kind of, well, I guess, stick it to the man is a phrase that I like to use. You know, the more shopping and business opportunities you have, and the more you can keep money in the hands of friends and family and people you know, the better off we will all be. So there was something else I was going to ask you. Yeah, so
the producers here, what questions do you have?
So any big plans for Monday night for the game?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about that. Maybe we could go to the restaurant. Maybe just hang out here at my house. I don't know. I definitely want to be somewhere. The last time we won the national championship in 2002, when we won, we had this huge bell at the restaurant. And we just rang that thing. We took it outside, and you said people pulled over and hit the bell. Bang, bang. You
really?
Know that big bell to the right? You've seen
oh,
it.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm excited, regardless. What time does the game start?
8:30.
Okay, so it's going to be one of those late ones again.
Oh, yes, it will be very late. Plus, I mean, I'm predicting a game in the 40s in the scoring.
Yeah,
so I think it's
going
to take 40 to win. But just a quick, we got like 2 minutes here. So just a couple of quick notes on the game here that I have found interesting. I just ran a couple. I have the team, coach, the chart for the two teams, the chart for the two coaches, and the charts for one of the main players for each team here. So just kind of a very interesting thing here. As the game ends, the midheaven will be about 0 degrees Cancer. I put it for 11 p.m. Arlington, Texas time. Arlington, Texas is where the game is. They are 1 hour behind us right now. Mm-hmm. So I put the game, since I think it will be very high scoring. I believe the average college football game is about 3 hours and 15 minutes, mm-hmm. roughly, from statistics I had seen for this year. And the more high scoring it is, the more stoppages you have. So I put the roughly the end of the game time as 11 midnight here, 11 p.m. at Arlington, Texas, which puts a midheaven of 0 degrees Cancer and an ascendant of 0 degrees Libra. So I'm just going to do a 2-second rundown, and I will post a blog on I Am Planet Sol and some other places later today. Marcus Mariota, Heisman Trophy winner, quarterback for Oregon, is a Scorpio. He has a Scorpio stellium in Mercury, Mars, and Pluto, all in the signs of Scorpio. And he has a Taurus moon. Mark Helfrich, who is the Oregon head coach, also a Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
October 28th. And he has a Neptune moon conjunction in the low degrees of Sagittarius. Marcus Mariota has his north node at 4 degrees of Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, Saturn had just moved into the sign of Sagittarius just a couple weeks ago. And looking at a couple for the Buckeyes, Ezekiel Elliott, who's been the star, his Mars is at 0 degrees Libra and sits right on the ascendant of the end of game chart, and his north node in Scorpio in the first house for the end of game chart, and his Venus, Mercury, and Sun in the 10th house for end of game chart. I'm thinking I'm leaning towards the Buckeyes in a close one. Ezekiel Elliott makes a big play late in the fourth quarter. And Urban Meyer's chart, very well aspected for the end of game. I'll have a full blog up on I Am Planet Sol, and I'll share it on my Facebook page as well. Next week, Heather Renee Horton, one of my good friends, great symbologist and astrologer. And I think that's going to do it, and we will see you next week.
Perfect.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
Mm-hmm.